Hello and welcome to another episode of Teen Health Matters. My name is Nal Lamptey Mills and I'm joined by my two co-hosts,
Jadero Fonadoon
and Patrick Keefe.
This episode will be on distracted driving, a topic many teens and people in general are familiar with. And you've probably heard a lot of incidents on the news and even some new legislation regarding distracted driving. So I wanted to ask my co-hosts, Patrick and Shadera, what do you think makes it so, or why it's so hard to disconnect from technology while driving?
I mean, for me, like, it's mostly because there's so much that you can do with it these days.
That's true.
Mostly like with social media, Twitter, Snapchat, all of that. It just makes it more easier to just basically use, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and when it comes to driving and receiving a text, if I can't read it, I get kind of anxious because I think, what if it's an emergency? What if something happened? That's and most true. Of the time, it's just a random text or Snapchat. Yeah. It's like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
And so it's just like the idea that there's a message there, somebody's like trying to talk to me and I can't communicate with them. I just like build up in my head. So then I check my phone at like a stoplight or something.
Almost as if there's a need for you to want to check it.
Exactly. Yeah.
That fear of missing out.
Yeah.
And also like I use my phone for my GPS. I know people have their like banking information on there, which is kind of sketch, but you know, people use everything on their phone. So
yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. So without further ado, we're going to introduce our guests for today's podcast.
So Dr. Laila Ojeda is a recent graduate from University of Maryland Pediatric Residency and is now embarking on a second residency in preventive medicine, also at University of Maryland. She completed her undergraduate studies at Columbia University and medical school at Stony Brook Medicine. She plans to pursue her career in advocacy and policy in children's healthcare. Welcome, Dr. Ojeda.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
It's a real pleasure to be on the podcast, and thanks for reaching out. I'm really excited to talk about distracted driving and teen driving specific. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for coming on and being our guest and kind of answering our semi-long list of questions.
Yeah. Okay. So I noticed that you were saying that, when you're at a stoplight, you want to, like, just look at your phone, especially if, like, you got, like, a beep regarding a text message or, like, Facebook message. And you think it's harmless, right? Like, oh, you know, at the next stoplight, I'll just look at my phone for a few seconds. Mm-hmm. But what people don't realize is that driving actually takes a lot of your brain. Mm-hmm. It actually takes 1,500 skills to drive a motor vehicle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And, a lot of it uses the front part of your brain, the cognitive and motor skills. So, like, you need observation, perception, interpretation, reaction, anticipation. And a lot of these skills actually don't really develop properly until your mid to late 20s. So we got all these teenagers out there on the road driving, look at their phones, and yet they're still not fully developed.
Geez, so we're already at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
We're the ones who are using the phone. Yeah. So.
Sorry about that. Yeah. And I guess like the other thing that people don't realize is you think you look at your phone for a second, but it's been proven on average you look at your phone for about 5 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
And when you look away from the road for 5 seconds, you at 55 miles an hour, you drive a whole football field.
Oh, wow.
Now, let's say you're quick, and you're like 2 seconds. You're driving down at 55 miles an hour to basketball fields.
That's still quite a lot, honestly.
Yeah.
And also, I know, like, I'm not trying to out myself, but there are definitely times where I'm, like, trying to put in directions or something, and then the phone slips out of my head. So you got to be careful, really.
Yeah, and it's things you don't realize, because you're just like, oh, it's a few seconds. And truth be told, what are the chances that you're driving 55 miles an hour and looking at your phone? Most likely you're looking at your phone when you're slowing down, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you're closer to a stop. So the chances of most people driving a football field without looking, unlikely, but just the concept that it could happen. And also the idea that on average you're looking away for 5 seconds.
Now, I found a study from the National, I think, Security Council talking about how your brain can't multitask or something of the sort. Do you have any more information about that? And I guess maybe the parts of your brain you use to use your phone versus driving a car?
Yeah, so I mean, I briefly saw that study actually.
Mm-hmm.
But like the idea is that when you're driving, you're actually, like I said, it takes 1,500 skills.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you're using your brain for various things. You know, you're observing the road. You're interpreting what the car in front of you is doing. You're anticipating what's going to go on. You're prepared to react. So all those things take up a lot of brain power. And then the moment you're distracted, and remember, distracting doesn't necessarily just refer to your phone. Distraction also refers to, like, just you not paying attention, giving your full attention. So when someone's talking to you, meaning your passenger that's sitting right next to you, when you're listening to music, when you're eating, those are all distractions. People don't think about it, but it is. So all those, you know, prevent you from fully committing to the road and increases your chances of getting into a car crash.
Now, a lot of people argue, well, I don't really use my phone while I'm driving, but at a stoplight, is it still advisable to use your phone even if the car is completely stopped?
So as long as you're in Maryland, if you're using the motor vehicle, even at a stop sign, you're actually still not supposed to use a phone.
Okay.
And even at a stoplight, if you're looking at your phone, sending a message or talking with the phone in hand, a police officer can come up to you and give you a ticket.
Oh, okay.
Wow,
so
okay.
Even at a stoplight. So don't think you can't get a ticket. So that's true. And then what's also interesting, in Maryland specifically, I can tell you, so if you are caught using a phone for any purpose, it's a primary offense, so you get, the cops can pull you over and give you an $83 ticket for a first offense, which is kind of a lot.
Yeah.
And then if you get caught texting, it's actually a $70 ticket specifically. And then if you get into a car crash because of your phone, that is like 3 points on your license.
Ooh.
And hopefully this doesn't happen to anyone, but here in Maryland also we have what's called Jake's Law that was passed in 2015 in response to a little boy that was killed because of a distracted driver in 2011. And according to that law, if you cause a fatal car crash because you're a distracted driver, you can get up to a $5,000 fine and a year in prison. Yeah, and it's the reason why that law came into place is because the person responsible for the little boy's death actually only got a $500 fine.
Ooh.
At the time.
Wow.
Yeah, for taking a little boy's life away.
That's
so
really,
you know, it happens. People kill other innocent people because they were looking at their phone.
Okay, so like, what can you tell us about distracted driving incidents in Howard County?
Sure. So in Howard County specifically, so the data that I have is from 2015, we had 1,656 crashes due to distracted driving. And that's actually kind of a lot.
Yeah.
But what I at least found was a little bit more reassuring was that Howard County accounts for 3.5% of distracted driving crashes in Maryland. The top one is actually Prince George's County, which is the highest at 17.6%, followed by Baltimore County at 16%, Montgomery at 13%, and Baltimore City at 12%. So thankfully, Howard County is not the highest, but it's not the lowest either. And in 2015, there was 108 fatal crashes that occurred due to distracted driving. Oh, sorry, I lied. In Maryland total, there was 108 fatal crashes due to distracted driving in 2015, and three of those occurred in Howard County. And, you know, three lives are still three lives.
Yeah.
So when it comes to distracted driving, is there a certain age group that is more likely to drive distracted? I know right now we're talking about teenagers, but is it just as, you know, applicable to the adults as well?
Unfortunately, young drivers, 16 to 24, are the worst ones. Yeah. And, you know, the reason why I mentioned is because, one, their brains aren't fully developed, but also because they're novice drivers. And novice drivers are the ones that have the least amount of experience and the ones most at risk. They don't know that, oh, distracted driving is not good. And at the same time, they don't have all the skills and experience. And, you know, young drivers, sadly, not only are the ones to be most distracted, as multiple studies have shown, but they're also the ones to get most involved in car crashes, despite the fact that young drivers and teenagers, you know, specific teenagers, are actually the smallest group out there on the road.
Wow.
Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah, they overcompensate.
Yeah. We do in most areas.
I remember when this came out, I was quite young, but there was, I guess, like Bluetooth technology or hands-free technology. Mm-hmm. How helpful do you think, I guess, that device or that application has been in terms of keeping the crashes from distracted driving down?
They have no impact.
That's sad to hear.
You know, what's interesting is that, you know, the laws say, you know, you can get a ticket if you hold a phone, but you can use a hands-free device, like Bluetooth. You always have to have one ear that's not occupied, but the other one can have an earbud in. However, car crashes have actually been on the rise, as well as distracted driving crashes have been on the rise, despite the technology that is out there. So it's really had no impact. And truthfully, like I said before, distracted driving also includes talking and eating and just not paying attention. So, you know, even using a Bluetooth or, you know, your car dashboard technology doesn't, just because it's hands-free, doesn't mean it's distraction-free. The two are not the same.
So have you or any of your other colleagues considered contacting businesses? If so, why not?
Contacting who? I'm sorry.
Businesses to, like, expand on the logistics of, like, a particular endeavor regarding distracted driving.
So I'm actually participating in what's called the Teen Safe Driving Sticker Campaign. I and Dr. Lichtenstein, who's a pediatric emergency physician doctor at University of Maryland Medical Center. We started this project last year where we have stickers that say, practice driving with your teen, they'll love you later. And these stickers, we distribute them in the summer because it's the 100 deadliest days, and that's when teens are most likely going to get into car crashes. And so this is to encourage parents and remind parents to practice driving with their teenagers. We have partnered up with three restaurants, Green Turtle, Miss Shirley's, and Roy Rogers, to help distribute these stickers. Last year, we distributed 10,000 stickers. Wow. This year, we've distributed 20,000 stickers.
Wow.
Through these three restaurants. And so we're really grateful that they've been helping us out. We're really excited. So, and we've already heard feedback from teenagers that they've been getting the message, and especially because this year we've also been putting the word out there more on social media. I've done an interview in WYPR. Dr. Lichtenstein has been doing TV interviews. He's done like three this year already about the Teen Safe Driving Sticker Campaign. So more and more people are finding out about it, which is great.
Now, you mentioned that the kind of Bluetooth technology that doesn't really change anything about distracted driving, drivers are still distracted. Mm-hmm. So what are some strategies that you recommend to keep people from driving distracted? Because a lot of people, you know, that's kind of their excuse. It's like, oh, I'm not on my phone. I'm just talking in my car, but it's not really distracting me. So what would you say to that, and what could you recommend?
Well, what I would definitely recommend to them. So let's talk about, I think, teen drivers first. Mm-hmm. With teen drivers, because they're novice drivers, they actually shouldn't have a passenger, especially if they're part of their graduate learning program. Each passenger that they have increases their chances of dying. So teenage drivers should be alone in the car or their parent in the car. But if their parent is in the car, their parent has to also put away their phone. The reason for that is because parents are supposed to be good role models. So if you're learning how to drive, but your mom is next to you on her phone, she's not helping you out at all. Her purpose is to make sure that you don't get into a car accident and to give you proper feedback at the end of your driving session. So I would say that teenagers, young drivers, shouldn't have a passenger. They should also, and it sucks, but not have the radio on, because they really should be paying attention to the road. And if they really need to look at their phone, to pull over, stop the car fully, and then look at their phone. More and more places are having tech stops, actually.
Really?
So they should take advantage of that, or just literally just pull over wherever it's safe. You know, for a lot of women, they have their purse usually right next to them. Leave the phone in the purse. Men, flip over the phone so the screen's not pointing up, and don't eat in the car. Really hard in the morning when you're going to work, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Even for, I guess, the radio, a lot of people try to make playlists where it's set music. That way they don't have to touch their phone at all. Is that still recommended?
I mean, there's no data and no laws that says you can't.
Yeah, definitely.
But that sounds like a much better alternative to already have a set list as opposed to just scrolling.
Yeah.
You know, the idea is you don't want your eyes off the road. So if already everything is automated, that's perfect.
I hate to backtrack, but you talked a little bit about your, I guess, initiative with these stickers.
Mm-hmm.
What are some other kind of community outreach or platforms you use to kind of get the word about being safe while driving?
Sure. So Dr. Lichtenstein is head of the Teen Safe Driving Coalition in Maryland. So they have a website online where they provide lots of information for parents and teenagers on how to practice safe driving. Allstate actually has really good resources for teenagers, and Allstate does research on teen driving, which I thought was pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, parents can go on that website to get information on safe driving techniques. Also, the CDC has really good resources, as well as the National Safety Council. And Maryland's DMV website has a section on teen driving as well. So all of those are really good resources for parents for teen driving. And in terms of how we've been trying to get the word out there, besides, you know, doing interviews, TVs, we've also have been using University of Maryland's Medical Center website. They've been advertising on their website how we've been doing the sticker campaign. They've also been using Facebook to get the word out there. Those have been the main platforms we've been using, actually. I would say Facebook, internet, various websites. But I think it's working.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then from your, I guess, experiences, is there a particular strategy or platform that influences people the most? Because, I mean, we talked about tech and businesses, kind of, and then later on, we can talk about policy and the influence policymakers have. Mm-hmm. But what have you seen that works the most?
So far, I feel that talking, so, like, especially through interviews and podcasts and TV interviews, have actually worked the best.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's the fact that people just sit down and listen and they hear a story, yeah, that helps, but I feel like that's been making the most impact.
Going back for a second, you mentioned the Facebook page that you guys have. What is that called?
Oh, so it's the University of Maryland Medical Center.
Yeah, and I find it so interesting how much power social media does have, because we, I guess, tried to cover as many topics, and recently even policymakers in Washington implemented a new DUIE law, which is just kind of fining people for even having a phone in the car at a stoplight. So anytime they catch you using a phone, they're just gonna kind of fine you, and to the point maybe you'll also lose your license. So I was wondering if you could kind of go into the effect that maybe policymakers have or local government officials have, and kind of what interactions you've had with policymakers, if you've had any?
Sure. So like I mentioned before, Jake's Law, that I think is a very important and influential piece of legislation that was in response to a little boy. So definitely policies can change when something tragic happens, and legislators have the power to make good changes. So, you know, it's completely ridiculous that you kill someone and you only pay a $500 fine. And then in response to that, took, granted, 3 years for it to actually go through, but 3 years later, we've now increased the fines and provided jail time for someone that has killed another person because of distracted driving. So that's really important. And just shows the power that legislation can have. And in response to what we have been trying to do, so the Dr. Lichtenstein and the Teen Safe Driving Coalition have been trying to change the laws regarding nighttime driving for novice drivers. The reason for that is currently the law says novice drivers can't be on the road after midnight. But data shows that 57% of all nighttime crashes among 16 to 17-year-olds occur before midnight. So
that's critical.
What they wanted to do was actually push the curfew to 10 p.m. And they tried doing this as early as February of this year. It has not gone through yet. Probably won't. Because, you know, it's not easy to change legislation either. Like I said, it took 3 years for the other law to change. But it's still something that we're going to try to push forward because we really do feel like it's important, especially because data shows that just making the law starting the curfew at midnight does not protect our most vulnerable population on the road. So, and it's going to take time for it to change. I think it will change. We just have to convince more legislators about how important it is.
And a follow-up question to that, what is the age range for a novice driver? Is that the 16 to 24 group you mentioned, or is that like 18 years old?
So in Maryland, the graduated licensing program, you can be as young as, I want to say, like 15 to start the application process and to be able to take the test and to start getting onto the road. So that's as young as you can start. And then you have to log in certain number of hours, and you have to be like 16 and a half years old before you can be on the road like by yourself during certain hours. And so depending on the data that you're looking at, they'll say teen drivers, and they'll give specific ages, like 16 to 17-year-olds are the most dangerous because they're usually novice drivers. And then other data that you look at will say that the distracted drivers of the age range from 16 to 24 causes the most car fatalities. And it's, again, usually because they're novice drivers. So you just kind of have to be careful when you look at the data, what age range they're using and what terminology they're using. But again, most likely the younger you are, the more novice driver you are.
That's true.
And now because, like, I guess most people start driving, I guess, the beginning of high school, maybe freshman, sophomore year. I wonder, I guess just posing the question, like, would it be helpful to increase the driving age, or I don't know.
So there's been a lot of talk about that. Should we increase the driving age? But what I mentioned before was that the issue is novice drivers. So yes, when you're older, you develop, you have more cognitive skills. And more motor skills, that is true, because those don't develop until like your mid-20s. But the problem is you still have inexperience. And then experience is what kills you.
That's true.
So, there's been a lot of talk back and forth as to should we increase the driving age, but then we're going to have all these 18-year-olds, 20-year-olds on the road that just don't have any experience. And that's just as dangerous, if not more.
Yeah. So would you say that increasing educational time would be a better alternative? Instead of increasing the age limit, then giving them students or young drivers more educational time?
So what's really interesting is there's not good data to show that necessarily the more hours you log on the road means you're a safer driver or the better education you get. What's actually been proven to make drivers safe, and I'm referring to like novice drivers, is actually parents. Parents that set rules and monitor their children's activities in a supportive way are actually going to protect their kids more. The teenagers who report that their parents are involved in their driving by setting rules such as, like, no passengers, they set a curfew, they tell them don't, you know, drink and drive, don't be on your phone while you're driving, they're half as likely to crash. Mm-hmm. They're 71% less likely to drive intoxicated and 30% less likely to use a cell phone while driving and 50% more likely to wear a safety belt. So data shows that parents are actually the biggest factor in protecting novice drivers, teenage novice drivers, I should say. Now, you're probably going to ask, like, well, what about parents physically being in the car with their teenagers? The more time that parents spend in the car with the teenagers, does that protect them? You can't say that's true because, remember, everyone has a different driving style. So if your parent has bad habits like talking on the phone, texting on the phone, they don't pay attention to the road, they have road rage, they're going to teach that to their kids. And everyone has different techniques in driving, I should say. So there's no good data to show that parents being physically in the car protects their kids more. And there's no data that says that the more education the kids get is better. But definitely setting rules and communicating to kids about the rules of the road is actually what protects them.
Now,
I know that's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
And again, it's because the way everyone drives is so variable that it's hard to say that parents driving is what's going to protect their kids.
Now we're almost finished. I know that for many people, they're looking for resources. So I know you mentioned Allstate, CDC, the Teen Safe Driving Coalition. Are there any other resources you have in mind?
Those are the big ones, I would say.
Okay. Well, thank you for answering our extensive list of questions and being thorough.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
No problem.
Thank you.
All right.